good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lay Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And, well, since last weekend, I've been deep in thought, and I realized that although we were trying to speak about spirituality outside of the context of philosophy or psychology or theology, that it was more difficult than to take it a next step and to speak about mysticism or mystic experience without the context of spirituality, whether it was a natural spirituality or a religious kind of understanding of spirituality. So I've been thinking about this, and also Yo-Yeon sent me a very interesting document, which was fascinating. And the last bit that he, well, that was one of the points that he made in one of his emails was something called these are qualities that seem to be opposite elements, but also exist obviously within the dynamic of being human. And this last one is predestination and free will. So predestination, for those of you who don't understand this, is something like fate or something that we're already programmed to do something, whatever that program is, whether it has to do with our astrology or has to do with a religious context or our karma. There's something that's already been decided for us. And then there is a seemingly opposite piece, which is called free will. And what he says is, when we give Reiki, so because we want, apparently, something to change in our situation, whether it is a better balance between body and spirit, or a better physical health, we do want something out of this. And so it might be... So this treatment might be seen as interfering with the natural way that would happen without giving Reiki. And I just also want to add another quote, and then I'll give you an opinion on this, and then you can have Yo-Yeon talk, who is our guest for today. Another man from the Netherlands, actually, Boudewijn, whose interview will be coming up in a few weeks about Mystic Order, said, reminded me about this quote from Nelson Mandela: there is nothing like returning to a place that remains unchanged to find the ways in which you yourself have altered. So I'll read it again. There is nothing like returning to a place that remains unchanged to find the ways in which you yourself have altered. And for him, Reiki is a place that's unchangeable for him. For me, personally, when I hold these two things of predestination and free will and this place of unchanging, one of the interesting sort of context for me is that my way of looking at life is that as human beings, we have a natural place in ourselves that's authentic, and this is the unchanged place. But when we grow up and when we go through our lives, and however old we are at this moment, all of these environmental and perhaps genetic and perhaps sociological influences come to pass, and this authentic place within ourselves becomes cloudy or veiled. And it is, for me, the process that happens when we start practicing Reiki, that these veils or mists begin to reveal who we are authentically. So, Yo-Yan, for myself, it is not that we are interfering with the natural way that things would have happened. We are actually creating the possibility that our natural process will be unveiled, that our authentic self, which always remains unchanged within us, arises, and we see how we have changed it by looking back. So this is my introduction to inviting Yo-Yan for the second time to be on the show. We had a very dynamic conversation last week, and I wanted to continue it and have it come to a close anyway for me. Of course, this discussion will not be closed for many, many years, I'm sure. Oh. So, Yo-Yan.
Oh, I thought we were going to solve this problem for once and ever.
No. Okay. I mean, the other philosophic theory that I have is that it is not the resolution, it's the journey. So yeah. We're definitely on a journey.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct for me, too. Thank you.
So, welcome back to the show, Yo-Yan, for the second week.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I'm just wondering if you have a response to my introduction.
I try to listen very carefully to what you said, and what I noticed is that... I noticed two things. It is that you have a thought that we have a natural place of authenticity, and I think that that is one of your fundamental inspirations, where the rest of your arguments are based on. So we start already with something, a preposition from is this true? Is this true in general, or is this true for you personal? And that is, of course, a question from do we have a natural place of authenticity? That's in itself a good question, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I heard also that that during life we are influenced, this authentic place is influenced by environment and genetic things and so on. So all the things of life, one could say, and then we are at the path to take away the veils that cover up this authentic place.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Did I summarize more or less?
Basically, yes.
Basically, yeah, yeah. Personally, from a personal standpoint, I agree with you. I think that that is true, but I know that. The thing is that when I experience something, it becomes not a theory, but it comes, for me, it becomes a truth of a reality, more to speak. But the question is it a reality or is it still a fantasy? That's one of the questions you asked also. You said also in one of your last programs,
mm-hmm.
And that is a good question. If you look at, if you listen to psychologists, they might say, when we practice Reiki, well, we are not taking a vial away, but we are putting a vial over the reality.
A veil.
I'm sorry. Yeah, a veil.
Uh huh.
You're not taking away a veil, but we are putting a veil over reality. So just the other way around.
Uh huh.
And that is interesting. From that's the tension again. From what is true for everybody, and what is true for you and me as a person.
Right. Well, I think that what's important for me anyway in this hour is for us to speak about. Maybe we can refer to the general consensus, but I would like for us to stay within our own personal
context.
Experience, because I think otherwise it gets too, it for me, it gets too theoretical, and then it gets confusing. So this is what I believe, and what my experience leads me to believe, and if that's also true for you, that's great. And if it is not true for you, that's also great, because then I get to see another perspective of reality, so to speak.
Yeah.
All right. So what I'm interested in today, and I know that we have started off now from last week on our great search for our conversation that we were going to have years ago and now are starting, I guess. And I'm just wondering, my first question is, do you feel that you can separate? I mean, this is always, this is a little bit artificial because it is, for me, the essence of ourselves that is spirit, that allows us to have what I call mystic experiences.
Yeah.
So to try to separate what I would call spirituality with from mysticism or a mystic experience is truly artificial, because I don't feel like, unless we access the part of ourselves as spirit, there's no way to have a mystic experience. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I agree with that.
And in our discussions today, what I'd like to do is to start with spirituality and then move more into accepting that we all have spirit and so on, and then move more into the mystic part of it all.
Yeah, that's fine with me, because I think that mysticism is in a way the very heart of spirituality.
Really? Oh, dude, talk about that.
Well, I think that in a way if you walk a certain path towards mysticism,
mm-hmm.
you cannot do that. I think that it's rather impossible to do that without already walking a spiritual path. So it belongs together in a way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now you've gone from spirituality to mysticism, but you said that also that mysticism contains spirituality, and they're both. Are they connected, and are they are they a part of the same spectrum?
Well, I think that there can be spirituality without mysticism, but I think that there cannot be a mysticism without spirituality.
Uh-huh.
But it's my personal thought.
Uh-huh. So can you say more about that? We will talk about this question right after the station break.
Okay.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back soon.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcasts each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. You want your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And I have with me today Yoyan Yonker. Didn't have time to put an e-card up for the show, so I apologize for that. We're continuing our discussion of mystic order, fantasy, or a quality of being. And just before the break, Yoyan had, I will summarize for him and then he can say whether this is correct, had said that you can have spirituality without mysticism, but in his opinion, you cannot have mysticism without spirituality. So here we are, and Yoyan, it's your ball. The ball is in your court, as we say.
Oh, okay, thank you. I'll play the ball.
Oh, okay.
Well, the reason why I state that is that mystic experience in themselves are very hard to give words. It's something that it's something that is almost not discussable. So we can only see from what happens with people who have mystic experience and what did they achieve and what did they do before they had those mystic experiences. And in general, there are some. You might say stages, or maybe that's not the right word, but phases of a mystical life that is considered as general for all mystic people.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to name them in short, and then see if it makes sense that it can only be when there is already some kind of a spirituality. And normally they say that the first phase of a mystical life is some kind of the awakening of the self, with capital S, to, yeah, that there is some consciousness of some kind of a divine reality. And for most people who have mystic experience, that experience is usually very abrupt and well marked in time. With what I mean is that they can very well remember when and where it takes place, that first consciousness of this divine reality. So this is something what all mystic people experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second phase is that mostly it goes together with the first phase, is that some contrast is realized. On one hand, this divine or a divine beauty or divine reality or whatever you want to call it, and on the other side, one's own endlessness and also some kind of an imperfection in contrast with the other side, so to speak.
Okay, and I've lost you on the second one.
Okay.
Okay.
Then I go back. The first was the awakening.
Maybe if you spoke a little bit slower, it would help.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I was already speaking slow because I'm translating the Dutch into English into my head, and then it comes out of my mouth, and then I think, oh my God, it's going too slow.
No, I think that you're very good at it, so it's good, because my mind is trying to grasp, you know, where your mind is going and where you're leading me, and it's great if you are a little slower.
Okay. And
okay.
The first phase was clear, that there is some kind of, of starting of consciousness of a divine reality or a divine power.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, one realizes its own finiteness and imperfection in contrast of those of this divine reality.
Okay.
It goes together. And then the second phase is some kind of illumination, what is called illumination, and that is more a contemplative state of mind, so to speak. And for a lot of mystic people, this is also the last stage they will realize, and that's why they have given the word illumination.
Illumination. Is that the same thing as enlightenment?
I think so.
Yeah. And when you reach the stage, does that mean that you leave your body, or
no?
Or does it mean that you don't care if you're in your body?
I don't know if it has anything to do with being in your being in or out your body, because I think that that has to do with physical phenomena.
Ah, right.
And I don't know if that is considered to be within the mystic experiences. It can happen, but I don't know if it belongs to the main part. So
right, I understand. Mm-hmm. So I have another question for you in this context. So let's let go of the details of this particular story and just deal with what I would call the essence of the story, which is that Mikao Usui had this question, or he had a quest, and he studied and read and he gathered all the information that he could, and then he prepared himself and found that he had to go back into his own, what I would call his own spirit. And then he went to the mountain and meditated. Now, would you say that he had a mystic experience?
As far as the story tells us, I think it is. The story that was told to me during the classes is that he was struck by a light, and within the light he could he saw the how the energy works.
Uh-huh.
For me, that is I should consider that as a mystic experience. Yes, definitely.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, would you say that he had an experience of illumination?
I think so. I think that when you have something like that, that in a way you how can we say that. You normally we think with our brains,
mm-hmm.
and at some point you have to go beyond that,
mm-hmm.
to experience something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that at some point of illumination, one can reach that.
Mm-hmm.
It is not. It's for me. It's difficult to put it in words because it's something that maybe we do not have words to explain this.
Mm-hmm. So what happens with human beings when we end up not having language, it's my experience that we, instead of being comfortable with that state, we end up trying to put language onto it by comparing that particular experience to something else that we know in our life, that is known.
Precisely.
And say, oh, yes, well, how do we explain a Reiki treatment? Well, we can't really. So So what we say is, well, it's kind of like massage. I mean, you've had a massage, but you don't move your hands. I mean, this is a very good example.
Yeah, exactly. That's also
so I'm wondering, in your studies of mysticism, there is a language that mystics share, or do you find that they fall back then on more descriptive phrases where, like Rumi, for instance, was a mystic. Do you know who I'm speaking of?
Rumi.
Rumi, the Sufi poet.
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Well, that's too bad. Yeah. So he wrote this beautiful poetry because he kept, for me, in my mind, kept having mystical experiences. And in that, what he did in order to describe and communicate his state of being, he wrote poetry.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he couldn't find words to do it otherwise.
Precisely, yeah. That's often the case. With the old mystic people from the Middle Ages, that they try to write it down, and as you said before, in the context of what they know.
Uh-huh.
And that is why, in your example, that we try to give Reiki words to compare it with some kind of massage or something like that, and that is why mystics who walked. Within the Christian spirituality have the feeling that they are touched by Jesus or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So there's a relation to what is described by the mystic and the discipline and the context where he is acting in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might have been that if Usui should have been a Christian in Western Europe or in Northern America, he might have experience in quote experience that he was touched by Jesus instead of a light. Who knows?
Well, that is a very interesting point. I shall have to ponder that one. Great.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, but I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is why it is so important, that's what I say in the study, you cannot read the biography of a mystic person without also reading the context and the spirituality and the religion in which this mystic experience take place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Otherwise it's difficult to understand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's part of the study. So reading biographies of mystic people, reading mystic experiences, is not so easy. It's very complex.
Right. So one of the examples that springs to mind about this is the autobiography of a yogi. Have you read this book?
No, not also.
No.
Oh, my God.
Well, this book is really interesting because it's a classic of, you know, the yogic culture. I will use this phrase very, very loosely. And I read it like 30 years ago, so I can't recall details and so on about it. But I know that it inspired me. And one of the things, it's a huge thick book. And one of the things that is in it, of course, is the description of the culture.
Yeah.
And that was very important. So it's interesting for me that in the Reiki community, there is a desire to, for instance, go to Japan or to find out more about Mikao Usui's background. I think that people are looking for a cultural context in which to place this mystic experience.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, that is a very interesting thought. And on that thought, we're going to go away for another station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Hello, we're Mike and Susan.
Hello, I'm Catherine.
We are the March of Dimes 2008 National Ambassador Family.
Although Catherine was born extremely premature with many challenges, today she is a healthy 5-year-old thanks to the March of Dimes.
I'm Don Germano, Senior Vice President of Kmart Stores. Kmart is proud to support March of Dimes' mission to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please make a donation at any Kmart or at marchforbabies.org so that one day all babies are born healthy.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm engaged today in a conversation with Jo-Jan Jonker from the Netherlands. He's a student of a university in Nijmegen, which is offering a master's course in spirituality. But it's a spirituality that is not doesn't have the context, hopefully, of psychology, philosophy, or theology. And I find this to be a very futuristic and also very present day attempt by a university to see that people would like to come to their spirituality not through another avenue but directly. And I'm just happy that this program is being offered. Would you say that that's becoming a reality in your program at the university, Jo-Jan?
What do you mean by becoming a reality?
Do you feel like in your courses that this is what's happening, is that you're addressing spirituality sort of head-on rather than, and from your own experience rather than through a philosophy of spirituality?
Yes, this connected with each other. The theory and practice, and they say that also in Nijmegen it's impossible to do this study without that your own awareness in some kind is influenced by it. So
uh-huh.
It works.
Uh-huh.
It works back and forth. It's not possible to study it only in a pure academic way.
Right.
Everybody who is a student there at this moment has already some experience with or some kind of spirituality or has already had some experiences that made them wonder from what is going on and why am I experiencing this and try to give it a place. For instance, my two most closest fellow students are both a minister in the church. And they already studied 20, 30 years ago theology. And now, when they're in their 50s, just like me, they start to study spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
great.
Yeah.
Interesting. So let's go to another part of yourself, which is not a student at the university, but a student of Reiki. And I'm wanting to ask you about your own. Do you remember the first time that you might have thought, maybe this is a mystic experience, or what is this? And then later, coming to a realization that perhaps you are involved in a practice that allows you to experience this realm called mystic.
Yeah. Well, the first time that I realized that there was something going on that I could not grab, so to speak, that was already at the first day. I was at the place of my Reiki master, who would become my Reiki master, when she gave a gathering for receiving information. And then that evening, I sensed the energy in the air, and I could not give it a place. So at that moment, so it was from the first time on that I realized that it was something beyond words, so to say. When it became interesting, mystic, so to speak. A few years ago, there was an conference from the Reiki Alliance in Gersfeld. And for some reasons, there was an auction, and one of the things that was that you could bid on, that was a treatment by four of the Takata masters. Shinobu and Paul Mitchell and Rick Bochner and Wang Yatuan. And it was mentioned on the first day, and it should be given a few days later. And I asked to all my colleagues, well, what are you going to offer, and what are you going to offer? And I was days thinking about it. It had to be for me. And I found to my partner in those days, and we agreed on some budget.
Right.
And this was something of 500 euros. And so the bidding started that evening, and it was 100, 200, 300, 400. And then I said, oh my God, there goes. So I offered 500, and then immediately there was 600, 700. And all, there were some people around me who said, oh, what a pity for Yo-Yon. He wanted it so desperately, and now his budget is gone of $500 of euros, and now what to do, and what is he going to do? And at that point, I came in another other level of consciousness, some kind of a trance. And I stepped in again in the bidding at 800, 900, I don't know exactly. And at 1,000 euro, we were there were two people left. And well, the end of the story is that we both got a treatment of 1,600 euros. And it was so. I think that we are still the world record holders of the most expensive treatment within the Reiki community. But that night I didn't sleep very well, I must say. And the next day I received the treatment, and that was for me the first experience that I could not that I didn't recognize, because. In the words of today, I can say that I was at a place where there was nothing else but the thought that I still was thinking, and that was it. So, and I realized that I could let that thought, that last piece of last part of I self. I could let it go, and that scared me. And then I returned. I don't know, but I felt my body again. But at that point, there was nothing. No emotion from love, or no physical awareness of light, or whatever. There was just nothing. Only that thought. No physical awareness whatsoever. And when I now read those mystic experience, I think, yes, that was a mystic experience. I can compare it with other stories. And Paul Mitchell, he recognized it during the treatment. Afterwards, he said, directly afterwards, he said that I have been in a place where a lot of people long to be, but there are not so many people who can realize that. Or who it is given, it's better said. And at that moment, I was there. And so for me, that was a mystic experience.
Wow. Interesting. So do you feel that in these mystic experiences, like the one you just described, some people would say, well, of course you had a mystic experience because you paid 1,600 euro for a treatment.
Yeah, well, but those were my rich days. I was still working as a computer consultant in the
right.
IT, in a software
right.
consultant. So it was a lot of money, but it wasn't. It were not my last. It wasn't my last money.
Right, but
so
still, you know,
but still,
it was a lot of money. So I just wonder, you know, is it how much we offer? Is how much we get? Like, I mean, I'm just interested if you feel like there were all these different variables that came to this point that allowed you to have this experience. So the synergy of those four people and yourself and so on.
I think so. Because I wanted it desperately. That's definitely true. And I think that the universe has helped me a little bit because a few hours before the auction, Wanya Twan was giving blessings. And I received the last blessing, and that already made some kind of a change in my consciousness.
Uh-huh.
So I was already shifting. And I think that was necessary to make that next shift during the auction.
Mm-hmm.
And so it came all together. And I was a few years, I think 3 or 4 years Reiki master at that time. And maybe when I'm now looking back, I think it was time for such an experience, such an extraordinary experience.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And what's interesting for me is that preparation, and this is what I would call it, all these different steps and all these different things that happen, our preparation doesn't have to happen with a plan.
No.
Or it doesn't have to happen sort of in a holy kind of environment in the sense of... you know, sometimes we think that we have to meditate, for instance, for so many hours a day, for so many days, in the year, and so on, and then we will have these experiences. It seems like preparation may be just simply knowing what is your next step and taking it.
Yeah.
And not having a future goal. So one of the things that, of course, is always a really interesting discussion between people is, you know, are people who are mystics or who are, you know, spiritual, practicing a spiritual practice, are we seeking a goal? And is the goal the important thing? Or is the journey the important thing? And for me, it's like, this demonstrates that, you know, paying attention to your journey may give you these moments of, you might call, illumination.
Yes, I agree. I think that the path is more important than the goal.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, it's time for another station break.
Okay.
We'll be back very soon with Yo-Yan. This is Phyllis Kurumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
The Waking Dream is a wake-up call to those who are finally ready to change the direction of their lives and the quality of their experiences. Join host Barbara Emrys every Tuesday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern for your wake-up call. That's The Waking Dream on the Seventh Wave Network.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelt a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org. And from energyhog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm with Yo-Yan Younger, and we've just been having a wonderful time following the energy of our conversation. I hope you listeners are also as intrigued as we are.
I am listening.
Great. So one of the things that I wanted to ask you, Yo-Yan, is that in your experience of teaching, but also being with Reiki, wondering if there is someone out there who says, well, you know, I'd really love to have that experience, and I, you know, won't ever get to have a treatment with four of the masters. Are there other experiences out there to be had? And I guess I don't know if you have any advice for people who want to create an opportunity like this for themselves.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and advice. When we talked last week about spirituality, one of the things that I mentioned was that we all have in our own system of spirituality some kind of fundamental inspiration, as I call it,
uh-huh.
For instance, Jesus as a figure, or Buddhism as a philosophy, or uh-huh. whatever. But in the time we live today, all information about every philosophy or religion is available, and that makes it not easy. That makes it difficult because we tend to take out parts of those well-thought, well-developed spiritual paths or religions and put it in our own spiritual blender, so to speak.
Yes.
And push on the button, burp, and there we have our own spirituality. And what I discovered is that what is, for a lot of people, a problem is to see if the ingredients of their own spirituality are internally consistent with each other.
Mm.
For instance, if one thinks that he calls himself a Christian, and at the same time believes in reincarnation, that can give some tension within the spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And also, then in the path that you choose to walk on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is good to, I think, personally, I think my advice should be choose something. Make a choice of what you want. So choose something that is already there, or if you have blended your own spirituality, then be very thoughtful about how your path is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because of these internal inconsistencies.
And, you know, there is a theory that these inconsistencies can lead us into a deeper place and, you know, have, you know, and lead us into insights. But then there is this other part that I have run into sometimes where these inconsistencies create confusion. And in that confusion, some kind of trust is lost. And this is where I go back to my introduction from today's program, is that, you know, our core, for me, my belief is that our core doesn't change. Like, who we are really doesn't change. How we express who we are, how we live who we are, that changes, that can change a lot. And when we're confused, we end up not really following our own, what I would call, essence.
Yeah.
And this, for me, is about a kind of essential integrity. And I feel like a lot of times people come to Reiki or a path like this in search of this, of the ability to touch this personal integrity.
Yeah. That's true. And, I fully agree with it. So on a personal level, I also think that there is some kind of deepest kernel that is remains always the same in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that kernel that I've always some kind of a feeling of wanting to go home.
Uh-huh.
Something like that, to be at that eternal place,
right?
Mm-hmm. And that was for me the motivation to walk on a path,
right?
What happened
right.
to be this path,
right?
True.
Well, it's an interesting path on now. I mean, in the old days, it used to be that people were just grateful for having one path available to them, and now we have, as you say, anything that's out there is available. And I think it's difficult for us, and I will include myself, to select a path intellectually. So this may be another mystic experience, just in the very essence of who we are and who we connect and what we connect to in order to pass. So for me, it was a kind of accident of birth that my grandmother discovered Reiki for herself, was passionate about it, was recognized as, was given the responsibility of a system, and passed that on to me. And somehow this has, without my understanding it, has become my path. But it's interesting because it wasn't just an actual decision, and I'm really glad that, although I knew I was looking for one, and I knew that the kind of Christianity that I had experienced as a child was not it, I didn't, you know, Buddhism and then Hinduism and then, you know, this, that, and the other thing. It just kind of fell into my lap. So I'm extremely grateful for this, and I... don't know if you have any advice for people who are out there still.
I don't hear you anymore.
Oh, I said, do you have any advice for people who are out there still searching?
I think that Jesus said your soul is in your heart, and Plato said the soul is in your head. Yeah, it's very important because
right.
a lot of philosophy and theology is based on what Plato also said.
Uh-huh,
and I should say, my advice should be follow and your head and your heart.
Uh-huh.
Use both.
Use both. Well, the interesting thing is that in the Japanese language, something called heart-mind. Heart, mind, and they are joined together. You can't separate one without the other.
Yeah.
And I like that, and it feels like that's something that I've lived without knowing this concept. And, it's been beautiful. So I feel like the practice of Reiki has really given me this gift consciously and has given me a lot of experiences that I would call mystic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is a gift.
Yes, it is a beautiful gift. And the part for me that I feel comes back to another piece that I feel somehow confused about sometimes is who do I thank, and how can I show my gratitude, and how can I demonstrate appreciation? So do you have an answer to this question?
Well, that's for me, that's also a question. Who can you thank for the fact that you are alive? Well,
right.
Can you imagine that 15 billion years ago that we were looking at the Big Bang, that we would now being at a radio show?
Right, no.
So there has to be a master plan.
Well, we'll see whether it's a master plan in the future. Thank you, Yoyan, for this program.
Thank you, Phyllis.
You're welcome. Well, for all of you out there, this is Phyllis Kurumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.